On today's Can Fan Show, we talk about a lot of upcoming battles in this year's training camp held in Oxnard, California.
Hell yeah. And a lot of it has to do with all those rookies that we accumulated over this NFL Draft 2024.
The main battle that we're looking at is that left tackle battle.
But is it the actual
battle of the training camp? I mean, we thought it wasn't the actual battle of the training camp.
Well, you can find out more just by listening to today's episode. Make sure you come join us on youtube.com/@CowboysCanFan as well. And on all the social medias. And
don't forget to crack them if you got them, son.
Crack them if you got them, son.
Crack them if you got them.
Woo. I'm just looking over to my left here. We're starting to compile some cool shit. Some cool Dallas Cowboys memorabilia. And it's, you can't really see it. There's no camera angles really on this angle.
What are you talking about? There's, like, you can see it, everything that you're looking at right now.
How?
I have a camera up here.
When did you do that?
Don't worry about it.
I didn't even know there was a... It feels like we set this up for this to happen. But I didn't even know that camera was up there, you creep. You creeping on me, fellas? Guys, what is happening? Welcome to the Cowboys Can Fan Sunday service. Because there's people out there that like to go to church, but we like to do this. Holy fuck, it sprayed me in the face. Crack them if you got them, son.
Sometimes you get a little too excited.
I was.
Crack them if you got them.
With the Saved by the Bell editions of the Cowboys Can Fan.
Yeah, cheers. But look, don't we have
them if you beers them.
Don't we have a bunch of cool stuff here?
Yeah, why don't you tell people who are watching what you got there?
Well, we got our Vegas picture of us when we went down to Vegas for the draft. You got a bunch of empty bottles of Screech. Got some Dallas Cowboys. We call them toques in Canada, but our American following will call them beanies. You got the Boys Will Be Boys book, which is actually a very good read if you haven't had it or haven't read it. Then you have the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders featuring Jane Seymour, a gift from Nate Dogg.
And I don't know if that's soft core, if it's a horror movie, like, or is it just purely showing Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders cheering?
I don't know. It's we got to view party that at some point. Then you got the signed Kenny Gant the shark picture that Alex won at Cowboys Experience doing the Gant dance. And then we got some figurines, man. So we're compiling some cool stuff.
And then you got the bobbles behind you.
Bobbleheads behind us. We got our styrofoam Cowboys hat. So we're compiling some stuff. The Cowboys Chris championship belt that he left. This is just a very nice...
Our makeshift brick wall.
Cowboys...
Hey, don't you dare put peek behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz.
Cave/studio. It's a man cave/studio.
Speaking of the cave, Chris has a care package. It's supposed to be here on Tuesday.
Oh, nice.
And so when I get back, we'll do an unboxing.
Sweet.
For it. And so this is like Cowboys Chris lived 5 minutes away from AT&T Stadium out in Arlington. Ended up moving to San Francisco and
behind enemy lines.
And he's it's only going to be temporary that he's going to be in San Fran, but he's shipping us some memorabilia from the Cowboys cave that obviously it's going to go up in the studs.
It's just all Michigan Wolverine stuff that he sent us. That'd be all. It'd still go up. Bandwagon boys, how the hell are you doing on this fine Sunday afternoon? A little earlier than we usually roll, but I kind of like this time slot, 2 p.m. Pacific time. How are you guys feeling about it?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. Again, enjoying the weather and just having kind of a real relaxed/lazy weekend.
You need those. Sometimes you jam too much shit into a weekend.
Oh, yesterday I jammed everything into yesterday. I have in my strata, at my place, a nest has been forming in the dryer vent. So
a snake nest?
No, like a bird's nest. So it's up high.
A raccoon nest?
A raccoon nest.
A possum nest?
So I spent yesterday pulling all that crap out.
What kind of bird?
I don't know. I pulled the nest out.
Did it have eggs?
No, but it had shit inside there. So like the dryer wasn't. So anyways, I did that. I felt like I was so, now I can't even remember what I did yesterday, but I was like
you were literally so busy.
Pin to pin doing stuff. And then today, took Riker for some wide receiver training, went to the gym.
There you go.
I feel accomplished this weekend. It definitely was not a lazy weekend for me.
So you guys are in between. I'm in the between. I kind of had a lazy/productive weekend, and I loved it. But I love lazy weekends, and I like productive weekends. It just doesn't matter which one you're at, because we are here to talk some Cowboys football. And we don't have a whole lot on the agenda today, we're going to kind of, I just think, freeball it a bit. Hey, maybe look through some articles.
Keep, tell everybody who's here watching. We got nothing for you guys.
We're going to freeball it. We're going to read some articles. No. The most important part about it is we're going to talk Dallas Cowboys football. That's the exciting part. That's what the people come for. They don't come for us. They come for the Dallas Cowboys content, which we are going to force feed them into their mouths.
I love how Anth ramps it up like Macho Man Randy Savage when he's talking. And then you're the ones you go, get out there and get it done.
I wish I sounded like Macho Man.
We're not going to be doing nothing and it's going to explode.
I wish I sounded like Macho Man. Macho Man was a very intense person, very intense personality. Do you think he was always like that or just when he was on camera?
I think a lot of wrestlers have, it's kind of like a heightened version of themselves. And especially back in that heyday, I think a lot of it, like they were performers, but they had that inside of them, I believe, right? Like think of what they were all hopped up on.
Oh, lots of Colombian cocaine.
Colombian cocaine.
That wasn't stomped on. They were getting the purest form of that shit.
And wherever steroids come from, Russians.
Yeah.
The Russian mob, whatever.
A boatload of steroids and a boatload of Colombian cocaine. And then it just brings out their true character.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's also the hard-ass hours. I think just from, like, the little bit of performing that I did, not to compare myself.
Oh, here we go.
I know. Here we go.
Story time with Alex.
But I can say, like, you get, when you are in a tour mode, like, you're not living normal lifestyle, so.
You're amped up.
Oh, it's like, it's almost like Friday night or Saturday night every night because that's your responsibility is, like, just to make it to the next gig, the next show.
It was also worse for you guys because a lot the way that you guys set up because you're touring and you're playing primarily, well, at least the last tour that you guys were on and I was there with you, so I'll help speak from experience on this.
Thanks.
Hand holding here
adds like lots of cocaine.
Yeah.
A lot of nose candy.
Adam, I don't think anyone in the band had even tried it at that point, and Adam's like, no, I'm pretty sure we were all doing it.
they were playing arenas, so you'd show up at an arena around, like, noon and load in, and then you would leave at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning because you'd have to wait until everyone packs down, and then you'd drive, and then you'd wake up, and you'd be at another arena at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then you leave at 2 o'clock in the morning. So it was like this weird purgatory where you're always they're all kind of slightly the same.
You're visiting every city,
but you're
just in the guts of a stadium the entire time.
Yeah, from vehicle to guts, vehicle to guts.
Yeah. So it was like it is a weird. And they didn't have like on their riders. It's not like some of the bands that were the headliners and stuff. They would have
the good ones.
They would have like their dressing rooms would have like couches and rugs and. Different lamps.
Rugs.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Fancy.
Yeah. Different, but a different setup so it doesn't feel like you're in a hockey changing room.
Oh, a change room. I see what you're saying.
Them, when you show up and it's like fluorescent lights.
It's like the ref's locker room.
Yeah. Basically. But actually, one time I think we were in the ref's locker room.
Guys, I got to ask you one question about the 90s. Who was on more steroids and cocaine, wrestlers or the 90s Cowboys?
Oh, man.
Oh, 90s Cowboys.
Probably 90s Cowboys. They had more money for it.
Definitely had more money. I'd say if the wrestlers might have been on more steroids, but the 90s Cowboys on more cocaine.
But look, to each their own. They both were doing both of those, and you know it's a coin toss as to who would helped out more.
That was just that was just 90s lore. It's just what you did. That's how you had fun. So we got we're gonna start off with an article by Blogging the Boys, and it's gonna dive a little bit into. Training camp that is coming up starting at the end of July and runs through most of August in Oxnard, California. And that's just talking about training camp is making me pretty stoked because you know football is on the horizon. I believe we're 12 weeks away from the first Sunday of NFL football, which is super exciting for us because it just Sunday football, like during the season while we're live streaming and having our live stream, it's just so much more exciting. Like it's
Boner? Is Boner one of them?
I just get amped up for it. So I know we're only 12 weeks out, boys, which feels exciting.
When you say it like that, it feels like it's a long time, but at the same time, 12 weeks, it's going to go fast.
12 weeks seems long to you?
Yeah, you, when you say 12 weeks, it just feels like, oh, that's such a...
You need it to be down to, like, 9? You need sub 10?
Oh, yeah, but...
Sub 10.
Think about it, too. We are in the sixth month of 2024, if you can believe it or not. That's, it feels like...
That's crazy.
It feels like the Super Bowl just ended.
It does, yeah. Yeah, draft is done already. Like, man, I think it's moving along quite quickly.
This has felt like it's been the fastest offseason, for us at least, since we've been doing the show.
Because we've been go, 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 baby. We do not stop.
We don't stop. We 365. We're 52 weeks a year. There's no 12 weeks out. We're on today.
We get a rare, the off season. We kind of are a little bit more lenient with our schedules in terms of producing episodes.
Yeah.
But when it's during season, it's like your whole calendar, everything changes because you're like, well, we got shows. We have to do the games. We're going away for certain games. We got to be there for the live streams. Everything centers around the Cowboys from August to February, essentially.
We're the three best friends that anybody could have.
We're the three best friends that anyone could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. That's a classic right there. Guys, left tackle named as Cowboys' most important training camp battle in 2024. There's a lot expected from Tyler Guyton during his rookie season, and this is written by Matthew Holleran.
Holler at me.
He really missed out at his at. He could have really had something fun there. He could have had holler and then at me.
What's MDH stand for, do you think?
He's a doctor.
Oh, yeah. A doctorate of Cowboys news.
MDH, I don't know what that would stand for.
And I'm not going to lie to you. Usually, I didn't see this article shared.
Massive dickhead?
Yeah.
MDH?
But not... how do you take that?
He's just got a massive penis head. He's just trying to brag a little bit.
Or he could... But he's like, it's a double entendre, because sometimes if I need to be, I will be a massive dickhead.
It's one of those two-for-ones.
Yeah.
And he's just got one of those huge Marios in his pants.
Oh, yeah. Freaking definitely a size up mushroom. You don't want the one up mushroom, they're green.
And well, you don't even want the size up one because they're multiple colors.
Yeah,
but that's what he's on. But he's MDH. Holler at MDH.
What's the fire one? Like he has some sort of STD.
Chlamydia?
Oh yeah.
The chlamydia mushroom?
That's the clap. Oh no, that's the clap. Stay away from that.
Don't get that one. Man, I got that fire up mushroom again.
Yoshi's gonorrhea or something like that.
I mean, I love the superpower, but damn these side effects. Yeah.
And we wonder why we are flagged sometimes.
Yeah, we're flagged because we like to have a fun time. We don't exist in exist in the realm that YouTube wants us to. Remember when we weren't monetized and I could flip off YouTube at the start of every stream?
I loved it.
I loved that. That was one of my favorite parts. But we're monetized.
People loved it.
We're part of the giant corporation of YouTube. We're basically slanging dick to get likes and slanging dick to get ad revenue, but sometimes we still got to talk how we like to talk.
Yeah, and look, I'd love to sit here as YouTubers, as content creators.
Influencers.
And we just talk about how we look at social media, et cetera, because that's what people want to hear. But instead, we get together just to talk Cowboys right now for you. And this article, I didn't read it.
That's the best way to go into an article sometimes.
Absolutely. So I'm looking for a little guidance as to what I should highlight here for us. Or should we just go through it? Is it not too long?
It's not too long. It's very short.
Okay.
If you look down and there's the gray section has kind of the content that we want to
read. Okay. Yeah. We don't want his words. We want what he shared. Yeah.
Okay. Because he's essentially just doing what we're doing right now. Yeah. He just wrote his medium was writing. Ours is showboating.
And for the record, we're not sponsored by Blogging the Boys. They just seem to always trend as the top news article, so it's our first.
They really do.
First
they're right up there in the Dallas Cowboys SEO section.
And Adam, I got a challenge for you, because you're going to read this first paragraph, but you got to do 4 voice change-ups.
Okay.
But we still have to understand it all. so you can't just go like...
I got it.
I think that's on average ads usually at least 3 voice change-ups in a paragraph.
Does my regular voice count as one?
I don't know if people know your regular voice when you read a paragraph.
Four change-ups, so you can start with your regular, and then you got to do 5 voices.
Okay. There's no question about who the Dallas Cowboys want the starting left tackle to be for the foreseeable future. They drafted Tyler Guyton in the first round and switched him to the blind side after he served as the right tackle, oh yeah, for the Oklahoma Sooners last season. It's a good long-term plan. Guyton was the 32nd overall player on our board and the 5th-ranked tackle in loaded class. However, BR Brandon Thor noted in his scouting report that Guyton would need to come along slowly. You can eventually bloom into a high-end starter in the NFL, but we will need to be brought along slowly in a conservative scheme in a veteran O-line room before bridging the gap.
That fifth one might have needed a little bit more gumption. Well, the other four, great.
Great.
I needed a Stephen Jones.
It's because I didn't know who I didn't know. So
you should have went your Stephen Jones voice.
You forgot your Stephen Jones.
I know. So
you could have finished off nicely with your Stephen Jones.
I know. So it screwed me up because as I saw the quotes, I was like, I don't know who they're quoting, and it's Bleacher Report's Brandon Thorne, I think is.
Yeah. So you went because you went radio.
Yep.
You went radio, Macho, Adam. British guy, and then I don't really know what the fifth one was. It was kind of a mixture between Adam and radio.
Yeah, you're right. The last, so
sometimes... Hey, it was good. You were close. You were close. If you would have finished, I would have given you a goddamn 10 out of 10 if you would have finished with Stephen Jones.
I blacked out.
You blacked out. You
I
did good.
I blacked out, and I don't know even what I read there. So.
I'm still giving you an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah, 8 out of 10. I mean,
I'll give you an 8 out of 10. You got 2 points for each good voice.
I'm going to actually give Adam 7 out of 10 because I know that's going to motivate him more.
I like
for
that.
The next time.
You know what? Fuck it. 6 out of 10.
Yeah, okay. Whoa! Yeah, no. We can't go too low or he's gonna quit. No. Okay. So basically, Tyler Guyton here has the skills to bloom into a high end starter.
And well, so, realistically,
they're not saying he's going to kick off the can there.
Can I kind of argue with this article a little bit? They're saying it's the most important battle. I don't think, in my mind, Tyler Guyton has some of the least amount of competition to win his position.
It's his to lose.
It's his to lose, essentially. Like, for him to, if Tyler Guyton comes in and doesn't end up being the starting tackle, left tackle.
Week one,
it's because he completely blew it. It's not because he beat out somebody that was extremely better than him. It's because his competition, he's got Wingspan Willetsko.
Yeah.
He's got Chuma Agoda. Like, these are no-name guys. These are guys that you don't want to start for you.
And they're talking about Chuma as his biggest competition
and
here.
Does that make you think that's that big of a competition?
No. But what I could see is, like, the first 2 weeks of the season where Chuma is the official starter. Maybe he's getting 70 to 60% of those snaps. But then I think by, say, week 3 or 4, we fully see Guyton take over. And the only reason for that is we're not going to really get... Guyton could have used that week 4 preseason game.
Yeah.
A guy like Guyton could use that.
Well, and realistically, okay, I said that maybe it's not... Oh, yeah, toss me. AJ's on. Nice toss.
I see my receiver open. I know.
That was premier right there. That was good.
The wide shot showed you kind of dangle it there.
Caught it. Nice. Caught her up there. Nice pass. The thing, I'm bashing Chuma, but for Guyton to beat him, I guess it is impressive for a rookie to come in and beat out a guy that's been doing it for a few seasons. But we expect our first round pick to play.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I mean,
now you can't blame the player if he is drafted too early.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's the case here. I'm not,
but if he's not starting week 1, I don't think Chuma beat him.
Well, yeah,
I think he just sucked.
Like if you go into the next paragraph here, and it talks about we have the Browns on docket. If Guyton's going out there, he's going against Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith.
Well, let's read this. No jokes.
The Cowboys have the Cleveland Browns on docket for week 1, putting Guyton out there against Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith. Might not be the best idea at a position where confidence is critical. Dallas does have options if Guyton isn't ready early in the season. Tyler Smith has proven capable of being on the outside. He has all pro potential at guard, but he could temporarily be a tackle until Guyton is ready. Alternatively, Chuma Adogo started 6 games there for Tyron Smith. He gave up 3 sacks and had 10 blown blocks on 229 passes.
So that last stat, he gave up 3 sacks and had 10 blown blocks and 229 pass blocking snaps. Oh yeah, let's make him start against Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith instead, right? Garrett will eat that guy alive.
Oh yeah, that's on pace for, I would say, comfortably over 7 sacks in a season if he was playing all the snaps.
And that's terrible. That's not.
No, that's not.
You're not feeling very confident with your left tackle. Dak ain't going under center, being like, okay, my blind side is fixed. I also don't like the fact that right now they're still saying Tyler Smith is a solution to this. You don't pick the left tackle if you're still hoping Tyler Smith is the solution to fixing the left tackle spot. If you want Tyler Smith to be the left tackle, take somebody that you know is going to be a day one starter at guard or center and then move him to tackle. So I don't like that, them talking about that as being a solution.
Yeah, if you look at this, if you look at the next paragraph, while the Cowboys could opt to move Tyler Smith outside to left tackle if they don't believe Guyton is ready to start in week one, having Chuma Adoga starting and leaving Smith at left guard would make much more sense. Hmm. And then he goes down to start talking about how he wasn't that bad.
Okay, well, let's hear him out.
Adoga certainly has his flaws, but he was not bad enough last year that it would be worth moving Smith out of a spot where he's an all-pro and arguably the best at his position in the NFL. If things go to plan, the Cowboys will see enough development from Tyler Guyton in training camp and the preseason that they feel confident enough to start him from the jump. That being said, coaches love veteran players. If Mike McCarthy and the staff have any questions about the 22-year-old's readiness, Chuma Adoga very well could be your starting left tackle against the Cleveland Browns, which I don't love. Again, that's Tyler Guyton not winning the battle.
Yeah.
But I don't think having Chuma as your competition is a great battle. Like, they're saying it's the biggest battle. I guess it's an important battle because if we see Chuma come trotting out September 6th or 7th, whatever day it is that we play the
Cleveland. I'm getting his jersey.
Sign me up for a Chuma military jersey, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, do you?
Yeah, it's true.
Do you think that they're, because that side, like, do you think that with Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith, do you think they might just adjust some of their line for that game in particular? And maybe you do see Chuma start for the first few snaps and then Guyton comes kind of in, or do they kick Tyler Smith back in?
I think the plan right now needs to be Tyler Guyton as your left tackle until he's sucked enough to not be.
Yeah.
Even if that includes him getting smoked by Myles Garrett. If you're going to have any type of, don't forget, this guy's going to be going against D-Law and Micah Parsons all of training camp.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, he's going to be against other good, and even Sam Williams. Like, he's going against good defensive linemen all training camp. We can't be scared to put him out against, Myles Garrett's going to get sacks against fucking any left tackle, right? So you can't be scared.
I have a little bit of a longer leash. Like I said, week two is like where I start to be a little concerned if things aren't happening.
Who the Cowboys play week two?
The Giants.
Is it the Giants? No, it's not. No, it's not. It goes Browns.
Oh, Saints.
Yeah, Browns, yeah. Saints. Good call. Browns, Saints, Ravens. Those are the first three games.
We got to get the schedule on the board.
Schedule on the board's a good idea.
It would be, I don't think any football player would want this, but I could see them being like, let's get this guy in into the game against Cleveland and then have him start week two with arguably an easier opponent. I don't think that's the smart thing to do. I'm just throwing out like scenarios of like what could potentially happen. But I do agree, if your first overall draft pick isn't starting week one, that's got to be a concern for your team and your year.
Especially a position where, like, as far as left tackle, they're confident that he was a good replacement, right?
And
there was starting caliber players.
Well, that's right.
Well, this that they didn't take
exactly
before they traded. Exactly. So if you're now not trading, crack him if you got him.
Crack him if you got him.
Crack him if you got him, son. Get one in you, kid. Boosh it.
At the start of the article, he talks about they were quiet in the offseason for linemen because they were targeting players specifically for the draft. So that kind of falls right in what you're saying. If you're drafting a guy like this, you're expecting that he's going to be your starter or your guy for the
just I'll be pissed off if they use draft capital in the first round to then go out and walk Chuma Adoga out there.
Oh yeah.
I'm not feeling I'd rather go with the unknown, but again, you have to trust the Cowboys brass. Like, if they aren't bringing out Tyler Guyton as their guy, at the start of the season, you have to be worried about it. What I want to see from training camp is he's clearly won the spot. But back to the original point, I don't think, well, this is actually a good way. What other positions do you guys feel besides left tackle are a good spot for a big battle? For like, what's a big battle?
No
worries.
Troy Reynolds in the chat goes, if Adoga is even competition to Guyton, we are in trouble. Best best sign our offensive line is in good shape as the day we cut Adoga.
Hey, you're not wrong. Reynolds comes in with a bang.
I'm feeling like Troy Reynolds, to be honest. I couldn't agree more with that. If Adoga is your competition and this is your, I could not agree more with that statement.
Yeah.
Is Troy Reynolds Ultra's anti-hero? Oh,
wow. No, I haven't even mentioned. I mean, Ultra's been in the chat already talking about.
I saw something about Ultra saying they had a yeast infection. Yeah. That's
AJ walked around with a yeast infection.
I clean my vagina. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So you were talking about battles.
Well, here's one before we answer that directly.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Because it's segment.
Sorry. Okay. I didn't know what we had on the docket. Hey. No. I was free balling.
I just saw this article.
This loser.
By Yard Barker, and it says Dallas Cowboys overdrafted, or overrated former first round pick, a shocking breakout star candidate. This is about our boy Mozzie Smith.
And Big Moz.
This is another position.
Can you be a breakout star in your second year?
Oh shit! Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you had a season like you had last year for Mozzie, if Mozzie comes out and...
I think breakout star just means the first time that a player like hits his stride.
You could have two bad seasons and then be... I mean, look at... it's a little different because Jordan Love never had a chance to start, but Jordan Love was drafted in the first round. How many years did he sit on the bench? Last year, he was a breakout star.
Yes.
A little bit different because he didn't get a chance to start. But
nonetheless, you would still call him a breakout star.
Yeah.
A rookie could be a breakout star too, guys.
Which is what we hope.
But
yeah, because there's a rookie.
There was zero on the Dallas Cowboys last year.
Yeah,
there were zero good rookies.
There is a rookie I do want to talk about after we go through these ones. I'm not going to bring up yet, but we won't. Maybe
you're
going to
keep it in your stash.
Yeah, I'm gonna stash it and grab it. Okay, Alex, what do you got?
Well, I hate it when they do this because we don't know who the source is. It could be fucking some.
No, they. Oh, you mean the guy with there's quotes somewhere?
Yes, yeah. There's okay. A quote right here. Maybe I'm wrong. I should just reach out. This is originally posted by Gridiron Heroics, and this is by Matt Lombardo.
Great name.
Great name. Lombo! Lombardi, what's up, bro?
If I was him, I'd go by Lambo Lombardo.
Lombardio Leviosa.
Lombardio Leviosa. That's longer than my last name.
Lombardio Leviosa, these balls in your mouth.
Lombardo, those balls.
Okay. Says here, one current NFL defensive coach, this is anonymous, suggests that the Cowboys overdrafted Smith last season.
Well, I think everybody thought that, though, really.
That's nothing new, but this is what is new. He or her suggests, well, I guess it's a he, because I don't know, is there a female coach in the NFL?
Yeah, there's assistant.
Okay, so it could be one of them, too. He or her suggests new defensive coordinator Mike Zimmer's scheme may be a better fit for his skill set.
These bitches always bringing up rumors. Am I right?
It is. It's totally a chick. Mike Zimmer's new, and this is them, and we don't know who it is. They called in through a voice.
If you want to know what I think about Mozzie. Yeah,
yeah. Mike?
Yeah. Oh, no. No, this isn't Mike. This isn't Big Mike.
Oh, no, it's Mike Zimmer. It's Mike Zimmer doing all the sources.
Yeah.
And Mike Zimmer's new scheme will be better suited for him. I don't have the yelling.
That was good.
Zimmer. I don't have the yelling Zimmer scheme like AJ does, but
maybe if you would have finished your first paragraph of that voice, you would have got 10 out of 10.
Yeah, well, guess what? Bandwagon Bob in there said just because you didn't know my voices doesn't make him that bad.
This is what I'm imagining.
Mike Zimmer's new scheme will be better suited for him.
The coach told Heavy on the condition of anonymity to speak freely about a player on another team.
Because he's best at playing blocks, rather than just getting upfield the type of scheme they ran last season.
Oh, who do you think that was? Bill Belichick!
That is such a bitch move, though, hey? Like,
yeah.
To speak on a guy, I would be like, give my source. I'd be like, tell them my source.
Come on, reporters, tell us your source.
My source is just you two. You two are my source. No matter what you guys say, I take as tenfold truth.
This is a more polarizing headline, though.
Well, it says, despite...
The sub-headline down here?
Right, and we'll get there,
sweetie. Okay, I got you.
You can read it, even. Despite a lack of production in his first season, there is some optimism that Smith could prove to be a vital piece of the Cowboys' front seven. So before we hop into the rest, did you have something?
I was about to radio voice that fucking headline,
but before we hop into the rest... Do you agree? Do you think there's some optimism here, or is it more? I'm leaning more myself into like 70-30 hopium territory.
I'm in hopium territory. Okay. Fucking prove it to me.
Yeah.
Prove me that you're better. Like he has to prove that he's better, because one, we were never sold on the Mozzie Smith pick. We weren't. And then he came out. We had everybody telling us this exact same shit. Really, last season he was going to be the best piece for the Cowboys defense. It just kind of feels like a rinse and repeat.
And we knelt. We bent the knee.
So I'm not bending the knee again. I'm saying, no, I need him to prove that he's better. Yeah. And I actually have very little expectations. I think the defense might be better in a whole because they have better linebackers now being able to clean up. And you'll see maybe numbers of rushing and stuff go down because you have better linebackers.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's going to be because of Mozzie Smith. I think it might be because of scheme, and you actually have some hard-nosed guys about to make some tackles. So to me, it's out there to be seen.
Quick shout out to Bot G. He's in the house.
Bot G, what up?
Crack him if you got him. What's up, gentlemen? Happy Sunday.
Boots on the ground.
Let's go. I fall in the hopium. I think I like the idea that it's his second year. I mean, there is a lot of pressure on a first-round draft pick. He lost weight. Maybe the scheme was completely different than what he's used to.
Ozempic?
He was definitely on Ozempic.
He was on that
Ozempic line beforehand.
It was his first advertiser or his first sponsor. He's like, I got to take it.
I only take what I believe in.
Mozzie, we're going out for dinner. Do you want to eat anything? No, actually, I'm just going to pop a couple of Ozempies.
No, they're shots. He's like, yeah, just get me my Ozempic. He's just like, yeah, I'll come out.
Ozempic. But
I couldn't eat another piece of bread.
So now you're playing in a more comfortable scheme that you're used to. You're put your weight back on. He looked strong. Like there, when we started to, we as much as we bent the knee, we still watched a bunch of stuff on him. Like, okay, like we're liking what we're seeing here.
He looked and big then, at training camp.
Yeah, and then he was smashing at training camp. Like we were excited. So
well, Chris broke down the size pretty nicely okay. there. Right?
Oh yeah, Chris. Big Chris. Yeah, big Chris, big fella.
But Ad's leaning. You think he's got a shot?
I like
having a better year.
I like because these are young guys, and like there's so much pressure that we just don't know about when you go into the NFL, and sometimes people whiff it on that first year. So if he's coming in with the right head frame, the right mindset, he's done his work this offseason, and he's playing in something that he's more comfortable with, then why would we not want it to be successful?
Bang! I got a question for you guys, and I think I'm going to know the answer. But would you rather have a Mozzie Smith, who came in like how he did and had a very underwhelming year one, and then goes on to be a serviceable starter for the rest of his career? Or would you rather him in a chance the year that the Cowboys had a chance to make the Super Bowl?
Super Bowl.
Come in and be like a super dominant player that one year and then just kind of fade out for the rest of his career. But like I'm saying, if he goes like and plays maybe how you hope a first round defensive tackle plays and it makes the Cowboys say they get past Green Bay and then we lay it down. Would you rather him have done it last year and then kind of fade out or have done shitty last year than be, you know, so for the rest of his career?
Oh, well, I would have rather then in that scenario, I would have rather have him done better last year, I think, because then we already know what we got.
Yep.
And I'm fine with that. If he's an average DT, okay, I can live with that. But at least that means that he's on the field playing and playing 50-50 competency. I mean, that's not great, but it's better than I think what we experienced last year for sure, right?
Definitely is, yep. Ad? It's a weird question. I know it's a weird question.
It's a bad question because like,
wow, okay.
It's a terrible question because...
it's a stupid question.
See, what I'm stuck on is how terrible that question is.
How stupid your question you just asked me
was. Shut up!
Now suck my cock.
Okay. I think that... Because you're not saying that they would have gone to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl last year.
Maybe they do, though, if he has an unbelievable season.
If he has serviceable seasons for the rest of his career, there's still a shot. It's better for the team. Because ultimately, that one player isn't like where he is, isn't going to make us get to the Super Bowl himself. Like there's other players that you'd rather have that kind of like one.
Well, he could have stuffed some of the running.
Totally. Totally.
And but forced forced Green Bay to change.
Yeah. There's still, I mean, I guess the way I'm looking at it is.
You only played three snaps against Green Bay.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
How crazy is that?
I just think that like, yeah, I would take the serviceable for the rest of his career. Because you don't have to worry about that position.
I think you can find that.
And another thing that hasn't been talked about much.
Besides your stupid question? Or
besides
what?
My stupid question, he's not going into this season with a guy like Big Hank. Big Hank's not there for him to battle with and worry about losing snaps. Mozzie right now is slated to be the starting one-tech defensive tackle for the Dallas Cowboys scheme. He's the only guy that's playing that position.
Now, I do think like this headline that's right here that I wanted to say in my radio voice.
Go.
Screws Mozzie up when you hear stuff like this. Mozzie Smith named Dallas Cowboys X Factor for 2024 season.
By Simon Cowell. Do you guys think that's true?
I don't know. Like,
I can't.
That's a more clickbaity title than the title of this article.
What do they mean by that?
Well, let's find out. Pro Football Focus Jim Weeman and Dalton Wasserman put together a list of each team's X factors for the upcoming 2024 season, with Smith representing the Cowboys. Mozzie Smith was selected in the first round of the 2023 draft to improve his team's run defense. He struggled to find his footing in his rookie year, posting a meager 31.8 run defensive grade. Dallas lost multiple pieces in the front seven, which puts a greater onus on Smith to perform on early downs in the run game. While it's entirely possible that Zimmer's arrival and scheme will bring out the best in Smith, he is going to need significantly more productive and disruptive in his second season than he was in his rookie year. Also, it's going to be difficult to shake off an early bust label for former first-round selections.
You want to hear a bigger X factor for me than Mozzie Smith?
What?
Jalen Tolbert, to me, is a bigger, like, with Gallup gone, I think how Jalen Tolbert plays the third wide receiver is a way better candidate.
I like the X factor that you keep hearing about is Flournoy. Where they're saying he's that big body kind of Dez Bryant-esque receiver. I want someone like that to come in. We know that Tolbert's not going to do much.
Or like
we need one of these unknowns like a Brooks or, I mean, even a tight end like Stevens coming in could be an X factor for like
than Mozzie.
Yeah, more than Mozzie, and I'm definitely more than fucking Tolbert.
Well, let's keep, hey,
that's a throwback right there.
Let's keep this convo, say Sean, going because Adam just mentioned a guy who Patrick No C Walker. We talked to this guy or
something. Well, no, we've talked about him before. He's got
okay.
He goes Patrick No C Walker because
we talked about him before. That's what it was. Okay,
yeah.
But sweet treat tweet. Excuse me.
Question. That's what I was just about to ask you, because you said, I don't know if we were on air yet, but you said, I go
to x.com.
You go to x.com. So what are they called now? X's?
I'm still calling them tweets.
They're still tweets, but there's got to be something else. If X is the name, crack me if you got them, son.
Just X'd.
I X'd it.
Parents are going to be thinking kids are, crack me if you got them. Parents are going to be thinking kids are doing like a new drug, but it's ecstasy. So it's like,
I just X'd it.
X'd out.
Funny thing about X is when it went and changed its app, Tay didn't know what it was and she didn't want to open it. And she thought it just got like uploaded on her, so she deleted it. She's like, I had this app that just had this black X on it. I was like, that's Twitter. And then, and then she felt silly. But what do you call them? X's?
X's and O's.
X's and O's?
Just X and O's.
Or tweets? Or tweet X's?
Well, either way, Patrick Nosey at Voice of the Star. You can find him on x.com or twitter.com.
Whatever you like to bet. Whatever you like to bang.
Ladies' choice. He says, I'm going to go ahead and say I believe Ryan Flournoy is going to turn heads in Oxnard. The plays he's making thus far largely hint at it. Today, a back pylon grab for a TD was at the height of his vertical, and the CB never stood a chance despite being glued to him on the jump. I think he's like 5 or 6'2", sorry.
Well, we're going to pull up the draft buzz after this on him.
Okay, Flournoy elevated and snatched it at the high point after a crisp route, then battled his own momentum by contorting on the way down to get both toes tapped in bounds. I expect him to make some way.
Two questions. We need to get
six voices in that that one tweet.
We need to see if there was a clip of him catching this.
Yeah, okay.
And two, I want to see his draft buzz.
Let me get his draft buzz up so we can oogle.
Because I don't know if we have... We didn't really dive too deep into our later round picks.
No, we did not.
Because that's just...
After that, you just kind of get exhausted, and you're like, okay, wait till one of these fools get brought up later on, right?
No, we certainly did look at him, but...
It's very smiley.
Yeah.
I like
him. Yeah, I remember seeing Flournoy.
He looks like Reggie Bush to me a little bit. Yeah. He's got that Reggie Bush smile.
Okay, and then we're going to go and look to see Flournoy.
6'1", 202. So not massive. Like, man, we saw Dez in person. Dez is a monster. When I threw up the X, and we got this on footage, when I threw up the X and Dez Bryant threw back and slapped fives with me, Dez was massive. I did not expect him to be as big in person as he was.
And then he said, "You're coming home with me tonight."
He said, "Hey, you little bitch." And I went, "Okay."
Yes, sir.
Cuck for Dez.
I don't know that. Let me see what we got here.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You guys keep talking just while I look to see. I don't think there's
small
anything.
School, Southeast Missouri State, not a big school. I did watch. We did go over a bit of his highlights, and he had some nice catches. Great 40, 4.44.
Well, that's
a good 40. That's faster than Dez Bryant. 4.44 is faster than what Dez Bryant ran his 40.
But this is interesting because we got this young guy, and it's always exciting when a new young wide receiver comes on. But we've seen time and time again with all players, I mean, taking it to the next level, it's not only a physical thing, it's a mental thing. Can they stand in the circle, you know, and hold their own? And I hope that this guy does it, but it's interesting because the hope is that Tolbert actually achieves this. So we're kind of in achieves his kind of breakout stardom. But this is kind of a really good position for the Cowboys. If Flournoy is even, three quarters of what people are making of him from the hype that I'm seeing, and I, you know, he's got all the highlights look great, the size is good. That's really awesome for the Cowboys because we've really been struggling with that number three. Michael Gallup was supposed to be that guy, and after basically the first year of CanFan, so don't hate on us, but we might have had something to do with it.
Yep.
He was a shadow of himself for the last two seasons, essentially, and he needed to go. Really wish he would have been part of that trifecta, but I think that's the more interesting battle.
Way more interesting. You have Brooks, like Ad had mentioned. Yep. You have Flournoy, and you have Jalen Tolbert. I think that battle, whoever comes out of that battle, you're going to be like, okay, that's the dude I want, over who comes out of the Chuma Adoga and Tyler Guyton battle.
And then there's the Marvel superhero, what is his name, Darren Devon or something like that, or shit.
Oh,
got injured last year.
Yeah, that, I know who you're talking about, the white wide receiver that tore his ACL.
Yes.
I'd actually really like that guy. David Durden.
Saying he's a superhero because he's white. Okay, I'm saying he's a superhero because he's got that Miles Morales.
Yeah.
He's got a superhero name.
He's got a David superhero Durden. Name.
David Durden.
Peter Parker.
His name is David Durden.
But the wide receiver, just the wide receiver battle all together, minus the CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks, just how that all shapes up. You got a lot of unknowns, and I think whoever comes out as the third and fourth wide receiver out of that group is going to be really good and have a good season.
Well, what about what? Okay, so we have left tackle, wide receiver, and then defensive tackle or nose tackle specifically.
But do you even think nose tackle's a battle? Like, who's he even battling
it's
with?
It's not, but we talked about it. So we can put it on the list. What's your top out of those ones? Out of those three? Or rank them if you want.
Battle-wise.
For your personal excitement. Not necessarily what you think is most important for the Dallas Cowboys. Because otherwise, I think I might argue, well, nose tackle, because we don't have one. So
right? I think nose tackle might be on the top for
real,
me.
Real quick, just before we answer, I do want to just share this with you. This is the depth chart, the Dallas Cowboys. Nose tackle, we have Mazi Smith.
Can you throw it on your screen, AJ?
Yep, yep, absolutely.
Ultra Cowboy says, Texans don't have 8 All-Pros, so go complain in a corner.
What?
I don't know.
What does that even mean?
Ultra... Fuck you, we love you.
go complain in a corner. I don't even know what that means.
You know Canadian houses don't have corners? Yeah, that's rude.
It's just rounded. It's all rounded.
Igloos.
We're like yurts.
The Texans don't have 8 All-Pros. Go cry in a corner.
That is true, though. Just side fact, out of context.
That's for chat. Sorry.
Okay. But Cowboys do have 8 Pro Bowl players, like,
Hence why we're not even Pro Bowl, All Pro. They have All Pro.
Yes.
Hence why I'm not like, we predicted together our first prediction. We all came out with, I think you and I were 11-6 and Ad was 12-5.
Sorry. Yeah. Someone in chat earlier on says Texans have built a hell of a team unlike us.
I think the Texans.
Ultra's coming in for Escobedo in chat.
I have a feeling the Texans aren't going to be as good as everybody thinks. I really do. But
they got, if I was a Texans fan, I'd be excited.
Oh, I'd be stoked.
Yeah.
I'd definitely be stoked.
Well, they're just not, here's the thing. You now know that they had their surprise year. Now you're on everyone's radar.
No one's sleeping on you.
Yeah.
And with how they finished, they get the hardest schedule for their division.
So. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they'll probably be good. It's just still out to see how CJ Stroud does.
And whatever, we want exciting games, man.
Apparently, Micah will not sack CJ Stroud no matter what.
Oh, get out of here!
I'm kidding.
Not, I know. I'm yelling at you.
I thought Eastside was it Eastside Harold?
No,
Eastside okay. Harold.
Eastside Harold's a bitch.
you're gonna conjure him.
Yeah, conjuring him up.
Eastside Harold 2.0.
He's a bit. Yeah, 2.0.
Okay, so here's our, you can see our depth chart, but the people I want to point out here is that nose tackle position with Mazi Smith, Justin Rogers.
That's his comp.
Draft this year.
That's the big guy that everyone was talking about.
And then Carl Davis, who for some reason is in capital letters.
I think caps lock might be to do with guys that were added in the offseason because Kendricks is also in.
Oh, okay.
But D-Law is. So that, there goes my argument.
Yeah,
D-Law is also in.
There is something to it.
Is it the veteran players or people?
No. There's tons of vets, right?
I don't know what it is. I don't know. I don't understand.
And you know what? We don't care. All we care about is the positioning. You got all these fancy numbers. You got fancy numbers. You got all this capitalization differences. We're not taking it.
We're not going to take it like Twisted Sister, you know?
Interesting enough, Marshawn Nealon is ahead of... Well, it's not really...
Is this like ranking their... This is...
Depth chart.
Right.
So, Micah Parsons starting, Marshawn Nealon backing up Micah Parsons, and then backing up Marshawn Nealon is Junior Fioko, who I have a soft spot for. I got a soft spot for these Samoans. I just think there's physical traits out of these guys. I'd like to go and watch them all behind the shower and hose each other off.
Isn't Nealon Polynesian?
I mean, he certainly looks like it. And his name is from New Zealand, I think, Nealon.
And then Maurice Leofau, we know he's rocking that Polynesian descent. Yes. Man, we're going to have some...
We got some Polynesian brotherhood
I like here. To see it. I like to see it. Those guys are going to bring the goddamn heat. But
back to the question.
Okay.
How do you rank those positions?
Well, for Draft Buzz, can we bust up Justin Rogers here on Draft Buzz?
Oh, sure.
Or NFL Draft Buzz?
Rogers' brother? Steve Rogers is Captain America.
What's Rogers? His name? Justin Rogers with no D.
Like no dick?
I like that. Keep it. He's like, look, we got to say we're saving on letters.
330, boys. 6'2", 330. Yeah,
no. Look, this guy has a lot of promise. He's a big boy. He's got the, if he had the body with Mazi's skill from college, that would be a deadly combination. The only downside with Rogers, I believe, is that he's just not like he just is
not athletic.
Just a cunt's hair away, if I can say, just a cunt's hair away from being in the kind of average talent level, like natural talent, right?
He's 44th ranked defensive lineman. Yeah,
like he's he, but he got into the NFL. He got in the sixth round. There's not a lot of honest hope, and nothing. Only this is pure front office mode. AJ talking right now. FOAJ talking right now. Okay,
FOJ.
Pure FOJ. You want Rodgers to outplay Smith because his contract is going to be better, and then you can let go of Smith if he's a true bust. If I'm playing Fojo AJ right now,
go obviously. Scroll, can you scroll down for a sec?
Yeah,
Scrotum Jay.
Go to his. Look, I just saw his 42nd time, and it was at 1%. He's
oh,
so his
only good thing
he's
is
the
weight.
1 percentile of the wrong way.
Yeah,
for 40.
Yeah.
99, I would, 1 percentile. Wow. Oh, so yeah, because we have looked at him, because the funny thing was his only...
We laughed at
his weight,
yeah.
His weight was his only 21 on bench. Because
we were surprised. 20 benches, like, oh, you think that he would be better on the bench, too.
I will say this, though.
Well, he's definitely not an athletic freak.
His arms and his span are not bad, even though, like, 34 inches is kind of your minimum for... most people who have good success in the NFL. There are a handful of guys who have 33-inch arms, but they're freaks, most of them. I don't know, man. We see this happen every year or a couple times every year where guys show up in the sixth or seventh, fifth round, and he might be able to fill a position, even if it's just for a year. I'd be super happy with him putting competition in that position.
Well, if he can't be pushed off the line, because he's a big he's a big dude. He's not a small guy. If he doesn't get pushed back 2 yards, even if he doesn't have any penetration going forward, but he holds the line.
Yes, exactly.
And
exactly.
Mozzie gets blown up off the line, he's better than Mozzie Smith. Even if he doesn't do anything.
Well, and
he just needs to be able to stand there, and if he's getting blocked, hold that spot. That's it.
Yeah,
it's all the defensive tackle needs to do to be good, successful.
And if Zimmer is going to run his nose tackles more like that, then trying to get a little fancy with him, because I think you should get fancy. And Zimmer's scheme, from what I've seen, is a really like cerebral type of scheme, right? It makes you think, and but it's also nice to just have a position where it's like, you know what, this is what you're the kind of anchor of this whole thing, and you're just going to make sure no one comes up the middle. You're blocking up the middle, and that might suit Mozzie Smith a lot better. It might also suit Rodgers better. So perhaps that was the reason behind drafting him. You're hoping Zimmer had some influence in that.
Hey man, he's a big bot. I'd rather have them waited and got him in the sixth, and you have another big body, than taking one of the smaller defensive tackles that was available in the earlier rounds. We need a guy that can just anchor down, like you were saying. Like, if he can get out there and just be a immovable object, I don't need him to make sacks. I don't even need him to make tackles. Just fill a gap. That's it. Yeah. If you can fill that gap and not get bullied away for the opposing running back to get cutback lanes and running lanes, you're good in my books.
And I've heard that my exes of my life and current lady – they say that all the time. If you can fill that gap, you're okay in my book.
There it is.
And I'm still trying.
Even if you're just in the 1% percentile.
Even if you just... if you show up and play...
Just get in there.
We're going to be okay.
Toss me one, son.
I'll toss one, and then I'm going to go take a little whiz.
Oh, you...
I'm doing it.
Wow, you pussy, hey?
You puss. We still got one more thing to chat about.
One more chat. That's why I need to crack them.
If you got them.
Nice toss.
So I'll tell you what we got.
Yeah, hit chat up. Let's get some chat going.
So Ultra Cowboy is just reiterating that we shouldn't be worried about Guyton. He's going up against Micah all training camp. He's going to be our starter. Cowboys don't miss on the first round O-line. We got no worries.
Facts. That's true.
Oklahoma offensive line coach Bill Benenbaugh says Guyton is the most talented line prospect he has coached, and his coaching resume touts 12 NFL draft
picks. Are you worried about Guyton, though?
No.
Me either. I, any Cowboys fan, and I think it was Ultra that said it, we got to trust the front office drafting offensive linemen.
Yeah.
What else chat got going?
Bot G says, love you too, Anthony.
Oh, you got it? You got
He's
it.
He's got it.
Bot G.
Lendro Garcia says, hi.
What up?
What up, Lendro? And then just Ultra Cowboy still going on. The guy in Tyler is so long and athletic, he will be fine in pass protection.
I don't think we're worried. I think out of any of our rookies, Guyton, in my mind, probably has the biggest chance to be successful.
And honestly, Guyton kind of was gifted with having such a terrible, comparatively terrible draft class, or a draft class at least in 2023 that didn't really do anything for the team that season. There's a lot of hope for that. But I think he benefits a little bit from that because the conversation's a little bit scattered now, where if it wasn't, it'd be heavily on Guyton and BB and what they're going to do. These guys have seemingly, and I'm on board with it because I'm a bandwagon boy, but they seemingly have been able to bypass that whole skepticism. But the more years I am deep in the Dallas Cowboys Nation trenches, I see that this is just a common trend, perhaps. And every player that we draft is going to be that guy.
I got a question for you guys, and I'm sure we've talked about it before. Let me get one of those, son.
Crack him if you got him.
Crack him if you got him, kids.
I like to finish my points and then interrupt.
No, I love it. I love it, because then I'm like, I can get one
in,
too.
Oh, yeah, get one in, crack him if you got
and him. And I crack him is – there's two things that I will never get upset to get. Well, one, I don't care if you guys interrupt me. Interrupt me all the time. Yeah. I don't care.
Crack him?
We're bros. We're bros. And if you know I got to crack him over here in the docket, I hope you're interrupting me so I can get on board with you. But – Crackums and super chats always cut me off. But back to what I was about to say, out of all the rookies, who do you guys think is going to have the biggest impact out of the Dallas Cowboys 2024 rookies?
Wow, that's a good one.
I mean, your mind ultimately goes to Guyton because of the position that he was drafted in, first overall pick for the Dallas Cowboys in the 2024 NFL draft, and then also the need of that position and include in that, like, the need because we don't have a left tackle, also the need because the left tackle is so important. So I think that stands out. But if I was to look at the rest of the team, who am I most excited about seeing? I mean, shit, I could go down the line. Neyland, I think, is because we passed on him so much, and had we had any fucking sense at us, and this is changing next year for our mock drafts, I promise you this, Neyland was on our board within that top three BPA multiple times, and we passed on him because we're like, there's no way the Cowboys are going to draft a defensive end. But I feel like my mindset has shifted. Obviously, it becomes more clear once you draft a player and then you take like a night after a drunken night relook at your, and you're, okay, this makes more sense. Like, it makes sense to have drafted him.
Which day live? We were all happy about it.
Oh yeah, totally. But it was a shocker of a pick because we had our heart set on
a running back or linebacker.
Yeah, someone like that, and had an opportunity to draft some guys that we had looked at. But long story short, I think Neyland and also Liafu.
Wow, you just added
you just,
it.
You just said added the whole it. Fucking
no, no, no.
team.
No, 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 no. Neyland's my guy.
You know what? Kalen Carson looks pretty good. Justin Rogers. I mean, who knows? Maybe.
Neyland, I could see having. Okay, I'll finish with this. Neyland, I could see having a Daron Bland type of season. Not that he's going to break any sort of sack record, but that he's going to have like over 6.5 sacks.
Should be massive.
On like 30% of snaps. And I don't think that is going to carry on through his career, but I think he's going to prove that he's able to get to the quarterback, and because of him subbing in for Micah Parsons, he's going to get those opportunities where when they sub Micah Parsons out, okay, now the other team's going to sub out their 1A, and now he's going to be going up a little bit of... They just won't take him as critically as they will
someone Micah else.
Parsons. So I think he's going to get some opportunities from that, and if he makes waves like that, boosh.
You boosted it. Ad, who do you think?
I think Tyler Guyton.
Guyton's a smart pick.
But
don't say Guyton because we...
I know, I'm not going to say it. So okay. I'm
hoping neither of you guys say Guyton so then I can just roll in and have the easy pick.
Well, and listen to... Ultra says, name the last first-round O-line that did not start. Tyron started in 2011. Frederick, 2013. Zach started in 2014. Tyler 2022. So like our
So does it mean that they're bound to miss on one?
I don't. hopefully not. Hopefully not. Actually, I'm gonna say I would love. So outside of Leo Fowl, because I wanted to see a dog.
No, you can say him. I said Nealand.
Okay, you said Nealand. So yeah, I want to see like a linebacker who's just who can come in there and just crank the run game.
Just smash heads.
What if we get Bash Brothers? What if we get a Bash Brother combo with
Nealand and
Oh no, Overshown I was thinking in Leo Fowl.
But because I was just gonna say
Bash Brothers were a trifecta.
That's true.
Because Kenny Woo became a Bash Brother. Yeah, because Overshown technically is still you would look at him.
He's kind of like a redshirted rook. He's never played a meaningful NFL snap.
Yeah,
that's right. But I'm going to pull the AJ. Now, you know what? I'll stay with Leo Fowl.
Okay.
Because the other person.
But say your other little bit that you want.
I was just saying, I would love to see Cooper Beebe come in there and pancake guys and be just this aggressive.
And so we can forget about JPJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you know right now, that's just going to be someone that we're comparing to all the time.
Yep.
JPJ was on the board, a guy that we drafted multiple times. And you know CanFan doesn't love anything more than to rub your face and when we're right.
Yeah.
Look, we said this.
We haven't.
That's why we're not a racer. Sorry, when I say CanFan, it's usually just me.
We're on board.
We haven't done it as much.
Me and Adam are co-tailors.
Good picks, guys, with Nealand and Maurice.
Who's yours?
I feel like I'm kind of defaulted to Guyton a little bit, but there's a lot of hype around Kalen Carson possibly coming in and battling even Jordan Lewis for that slot role, right? So I think it'd be cool to get this kid he's such a little dirty little slot. It'd be cool to get this kid out of Wake Forest that we got in the fifth round who wasn't sought after in a big cornerback class to see him come in and tear it up also. But I'm feeling more confident with this year's draft class. And I'd have to go back to see how I felt about last year's, but I do.
I think that's fair, though.
I feel more confident. And we preached, actually, that the Cowboys should go BPA. And it looks like what they drafted at every spot, they went BPA. So
except for Liafu, who was a BPA because they didn't have that fifth round pick. So they had to
get a linebacker.
They had to get a linebacker before it dropped too much. Here's the thing. I agree, and I think part of it last year was because we were pretty upset with the first-round pick, Mozzie Smith, in 2023. I shouldn't say upset, but like more like flabbergasted and questioning why you would draft a defensive tackle.
Well, we were.
Now it makes more sense, seeing as he's the de facto starter this season.
And he's a starter, which is nice.
And then you look at Schoon, and Schoon was like, okay, this is good, but no one thought that tight end was someone that we really actually.
He had a third to fourth round grade on him.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was certainly a reach, even though I did think at the time, I didn't believe that either Ferguson or Hendershot were going to be able to.
Neither did the Cowboys.
Neither did the Cowboys, obviously. And then who was the third round pick?
Overshown.
And then Overshown.
The guy that we were most excited about of our top three picks.
Which that's when the draft got good. But I think Overshown really was the only bright spot in that draft where we were like, or for myself, I should say, where I was like, okay, great. Like, good pick.
Well, and the good cool thing about that is that we get to see him this year with another linebacker that we drafted. Like, I'm so excited. I'm way more excited this season going into this season that for the linebacking room than last year. And that has to do with the Eric Kendricks pickup. Just seeing that dude standing there in the Sean Lee 50, I might have to get myself a Kendricks jersey, even if he's only around for one or two seasons. Like, the guy just looks... He looks like a linebacker should look.
Overshown?
No, Kendricks.
Oh, Kendricks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fucking A. Well, Kendricks could... He's gone a one-season deal, right?
Yeah, I think he's just got the one-year deal.
I like him, and I like that he's a... I like that he's a Zimmer boy, so... But here's the...
He's a Zimbot?
Here's an interesting topic, considering that we're talking about the rookies. This is by Blogging the Boys...
Our go-to,
Brian_Martin. I wonder if that's his legal name, but that's how he's written it. Brian_Martin.
He's Brian_Martin Smith. His last name's Smith, but he only puts his first name.
Majority of Cowboys rookies could see the field early and often in 2024. The rookie draft class could play a vital role for the Cowboys in 2024.
Timeout. you called up the Candyman and he showed up.
Eastside Herald?
What excuse are you guys pulling out of your asses today?
Hey, Eastside Herald, we were just talking how CJ Stroud sucks and how Mike is going to sack him 3 times, you little biatch.
Eastside! Go home, Eastside Herald.
He probably is.
No, stay on the stream.
And what you got to do is you got to get rid of the A and R in his name, and then he's just Eastside, hold these nuts, bitch.
You been boost.
That's a capital B-O-O-S-H exclamation, son.
No, God, please, no.
Okay. What excuses are you coming up with? I mean, he does always say funny shit. He does.
But this is what Brian_Martin has to say. Yeah. I mean, they're good. Hey, if we take time to read it, Adam's looking to poke the bear.
I love. And by the bears, are you talking about Anth?
Talking about us.
We're bandwagon bears.
Well, you guys are bears. You two are bears. I'm an otter. Yeah. I'm definitely
otter
an
boy. Otter Jay.
I'm going to skip a little bit here. But of the 8 players the Dallas Cowboys drafted this year in the draft, a case could be made that nearly all of them have a chance to see playing time early on in their first year in the league. But which ones and what kind of role would they play? Oh, sorry, I jerk off.
Otter boy. That was your otter. Yeah, otter. That was your otter, Jay.
Otters are scary.
They are cute though. They're a lot bigger than you'd think when you see them in person. Yeah. They're massive.
Yeah, and they're always fucking rolling. Spreading their legs, showing it off, suntanning their balls,
sunning the balls up.
They're just getting that. What was that stupid steroid monkeys things? Just tanning your asshole and your balls. Oh, what was Liver King?
Yeah,
otters are just little versions of Liver King. Yeah. They just take steroids, eat raw food, and tan their balls.
Yeah, and bowl balls.
I gotta do it.
So we know the draft class: Guyton, Nealon, BB, Liafu, Carson, Flournoy, Thomas, and Rodgers. So
Rodgers was 7th round last.
Seventh round, shit. Yeah, I said 6th, and he's number 2 on the depth.
Hey, I guess that's a great pick for the Cowboys. That's banging it out. So what are you thinking here, AJ? You're just trying to think which player is going to get the most play time here.
I just want to read these 3 paragraphs, Adam. If you want to start with one.
Okay, with their first 4 picks, the Dallas Cowboys may have landed themselves a couple of potential starters on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball, whether that's as rookies or down the road remains to be seen, though. I'm just going to keep going.
Yep, keep going.
Both Tyler Guyton and Cooper Bebe!
Bebe!
Have the best shot at locking down a starting job as rookies. Guyton will be given every opportunity to replace Tyron Smith at left tackle, and the same opportunity will be given to BB to replace Tyler Biadasz's new starting center.
Guys, what do you think, though? Do you think BB's got the chance? Do you think he's going to outplay Hoffman? Again, sorry, I'm going back to our first topic. I think Hoffman-BB is a bigger battle than Guyton-Adoga, and maybe even in a more important one.
Well, I also want to...
Does Blogging the Boys even research?
Anth, I like that. I love it. If I can just piggyback off that for
yeah,
a
piggyback.
Second here, I'm doing some corporate speak. Let me just piggyback off that.
Yeah, great. I like the points. Valid. Let's piggyback on it before we round it back and then cycle it back through that.
I'd shoot myself if I had to do stuff like that.
We're going to cycle that back in a second here. What
I'm
want to do
that,
is...
I'm going to anchor it over here.
I'm going to anchor what you... Hang on.
You want to hear?
I got Apple TV,
and you want to hear the construction like meeting.
Yeah,
reply to that. Can you just fucking spit it out?
Yeah, already? Hurry up! I gotta get back. Yeah. On. Yeah.
Spit it out! Hey! Come on!
What's this other fucking meeting for?
Yeah, what another fucking meeting?
But I think I even forgot where I was going there right now.
BB, Jesus. You're on the BB train.
Oh yeah. Let's take. This is why I think you're right. Take Guyton and BB. Let's say they don't. Now look at our offensive line. Who do we got? Edoga, Smith,
Hoffman,
Ball,
Martin, Steele.
Yeah, and Ball in there somewhere.
And Ball. But,
as you're like.
But he's not starting, probably.
TJ Bass.
Bass and Ball.
Would maybe battle it out a little bit, because then I... If that's how they were going, I think your starting lineup would have been Tyler Smith, left tackle, TJ Bass, guard, Hoffman, center, Martin, other guard, and then Steele. which that's not good either. And then Adoga would be like your whatever. Or it depends the orientation you'd go.
The problem, too, is steel
is a bitch.
Which steel are we getting?
Yeah.
If we get 2022 steel back, suddenly that line is like 20% better.
It's a strength.
Such a huge strength. If we get 2023, first half of 2023 steel, and I wonder, like, was it just his nagging injury? Because there was not, besides the injury, of course, which is super detrimental, he was having a fucking fantastic 2022
season. He was on the road to an all-pro in 2022. And so he's had terrible season, really good three quarters of a season till the injury, and then, like, I'd say
below average.
Marginally bad.
Yeah.
Third season, so it's scary.
It's a bounce-back year for him.
The pattern says he's going to be good.
So, anyways, we know that Guyton and Beebe have that potential to start. The next guys on this article are Marshawn Nealon and Liafu, who says, while Nealon and Liafu may not have as clear as a path to earn starting jobs, because obviously Guyton and Beebe, they drafted to hope that, like, hey, here's your plate of food. All you have to do is come eat it, right? You big fat bastards. it might not be as clear as a path. Due to the depth ahead of them on the roster, each one of them could play a significant role early on. Nealon will be tasked to replace the production of both Armstrong and Fowler, who I love Fowler, and I mean, we loved our boy Armstrong, too. while Liafu will more than likely play a backup role at linebacker. Both, though, have starting potential early on if needed because of injury. So they're thinking Liafu is going to play behind Clark, I guess.
But that last sentence is key.
Right.
Huge depth. It's huge depth. And when you draft a guy, I want him to mimic a player, right? And as far as Nealon, he's very similar to DeMarcus Lawrence. Yeah. So when DeMarcus Lawrence was out of the game, you might have lost a little bit when you had Dorrance Armstrong and Fowler Jr. in there. Maybe when Nealon's in there, it's not as big a drop-off. Or when you're moving D-Law in, which you saw the Cowboys do a bunch last year, you could have D-Law playing as a tackle on pass rushing downs and have Nealon in there, and you might have a better chance, right? So I do like that. But to start, I guess this whole point is if they're going to start, it's the only way Nealon's starting at defensive end is if, in my mind, D-Law or Micah gets hurt.
Yeah, and another point I think is, like, it's becoming more and more valuable to know your depth. And because I always thought about this when I played Madden 2, by the way, guys, is when I was drafting and stuff, I knew I had a starter, let's say, at a position, a quarterback, but maybe I had, like, a 55 overall QB. I'd still go out and spend maybe a third-round pick on a really high-quality backup, and then this is a video game, too, by the way. I wasn't a real NFL coach, okay?
or GM. AJ was not.
Yeah, I was not a.
We're just saying out there. We're putting this out there. AJ was not an actual NFL GM.
Before you call me a liar, I'm admitting. But what the point of that was is, A, you bring in a guy, you test him out. Either he is amazing or he's just good enough that when you need him, he comes in. Or he's good, but not as great as your QB that you have in, or the player at that position that you have in, and then you can trade him.
Yeah.
Like, there's trade value in that. So, long story short, it would be really hard for Nealon to start, absolutely, but I think that depth that he adds is something, and it is difficult to replace both Armstrong and Fowler, but if he can... That's a two-for-one package deal for a replacement player, and it just makes things a lot more streamlined and clear as to, like, how you're going to do it. But you mentioned something, sorry, about Lawrence moving in and playing, like, not playing.
Yeah, just on passing downs, right? Yeah, just on passing downs. The Cowboys' best four-down starters to get sacks without having to send any blitzers last season was Dorrance Armstrong, DeMarcus Lawrence, Oso Digizua, and Micah Parsons. Those were the four guys that were on the line that could still get to the quarterback without any other forms of pressure. So you'd like to still see that, right? You'd still like to see when D-Law kicks in on a passing down And you know what? It might not even be Nyland. It might be Sam Williams that takes that spot now. But the more cogs in the wheel, the better chance, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's another thing, too, is Williams is such a...
As long as he ties his shoelaces up.
And then we'll finish up here with... I think it goes on a little bit more, but we're just going to finish up here with Kalen Carson, because I think that's a guy who has also had a little bit of... a lot of hype around his name.
Wake Forest. Dallas fifth-round pick, cornerback Kalen Carson. Looks as if he could play an important role as a backup as a rookie. He has a really good shot at locking down that CB4 spot behind Trevon Diggs, Deron Bland, and Jordan Lewis. If no other outside free agent is added to the mix, he could be forced into a starting role as an injury fill-in.
Do you like that?
Yeah, I do like that. Like, I mean,
instead of signing Gilly again?
If he's got the chops, yes.
That would be, so, yeah, I mean, if Deron Bland or Diggs go down, it looks like Carson's that guy. They're kind of slotting him in to be that dude that if any of those three starters in Jordan Lewis, Trevon Diggs, and Deron Bland, if not so Bland, go down, he could step in for any of those dudes, which that's nice to have.
Do you think Lewis has a tight lockdown on that third string?
It's tough to say. So Lewis right now, he'll be your starting nickel, but I would be surprised if Carson and him aren't battling out to see who's the better nickel corner.
And nickel's primarily...
Nickel's like so on third down where it's a passing down, where Trevon Diggs and Deron Bland are both on the outside, you're going to have another cornerback in.
Just kind of watching.
You're going to take a linebacker out and bring a corner in. So that third spot, that nickel, which is what Deron Bland played before the Diggs injury, but then came in and was obviously a fucking set NFL record. So,
and then you bring Donald Dubb up to the line and fucking smash.
It's actually right now that Diggs is back. Diggs going down last year without the Cow. Obviously, the Cowboys didn't go on and win a Super Bowl. It's almost nice now because you know Deron Bland can play outside.
Yeah, exactly. Because he was just slot before.
He was just a slot corner, so a nickel corner. So it's nice. Guys, that was a great episode. Anyone that showed up into chat to shoot the shit with us on this beautiful Sunday.
Ooh,
verge of summer, 12 weeks out from the NFL. We appreciate you guys coming in. AdBest is going to be stepping away for the next few weeks.
2 weeks, yep.
Sad.
Next three episodes.
Going to Japan.
I'm in Japan again. Second time.
Oh, Domi Arigato, Mr. Bessie.
Mr. Roboto.
I mean, I'd still like to try to get you in on one episode if it works out.
I guess I...
Live from Japan?
Like, I want full sake, Adam.
Yeah.
I want...
I guess what time... No, because it'll be morning for here. No, you're going to be... You guys.
No, yeah, but you're going to... Hey, if I could do it, you could do it. Okay, brother? We're almost in the same time zone.
We should see. You should just cross-reference it with your schedule while you're out there. But if... Even 30 minutes if we get you.
If I can do it, I can do it.
If you can do it, you can do it. AJ's going to be...
I want you on the streets.
We want you on the streets. AJ's going to be sitting in the seat with me. We will be back Wednesday. We have a special guest Wednesday, too. I'm not going to tell
you
who.
Don't spoil it!
But we have a guest Wednesday night, and we will be back. And guys, crack him if you got him, son.
Crack him if you got him, son!
Where can I find you guys? What's your at?
Like and subscribe and send your nudes to Adam.